Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 3. This morning, we talked about Thomas Christians. And tonight, we're going to talk about you. Yeah, we're going to talk about you tonight. And we're going to talk about what Jesus did for you. What Jesus did for you. In Romans chapter 3, and I think it's one of those messages that we just don't do often enough to remind ourselves of what life used to be like and what it is like now. So in Romans chapter 3, let's pick it up with verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. What we're getting ready to look at is the debt that Jesus paid for us, okay? And it says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So even though the Jews were given the law was given just to show the whole world that it could not be kept. Okay? Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law, or the righteousness of God apart from the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So we see so far that Paul is talking about the law on one hand and the righteousness on the other. If you live under the law, you cannot be righteous. So if you live under the law, no matter how much of the law you kept, no matter what you did, you could not get into heaven. Because the law, Jesus fulfilled it. And now we are made righteous. Okay? Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, it says, for all have sinned. Why have we all sinned? We were born into it. We haven't sinned because that's what we do. At this point, we sin because that was who we were. Okay? That's who we were. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being made freely, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith, in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we were made justified freely by his grace. It's something we could not earn. It's something we could not do on our own. It had to be done for us, and the only thing we had to do was just say yes. Okay? Verse 26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And that is us. That is us. We have been justified and we have been made justified for one simple reason. We believed in Jesus. That was all it took. Turn to chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse, and we're jumping in the middle of things, but as Brother Gary Carpenter would say, it's all good. It's all good. Look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When we were yet unable to save ourselves, is another way to look at. Christ died for us at the time we were ungodly. Okay? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God commendeth his love toward us. He gave his love to us without us asking for it. Without us asking for it. He gave us love without us asking for it. You know, I want that to sink in. He gave us love without us asking for it. So should not that be our response also? We give love without someone having to ask for it. Okay? Look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. And what followed sin? Death. Death followed sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Again, why did we sin? Because we were born under the bloodline of Adam. That's why we sinned. We were just born into it. We had no choice. Okay, look at verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, going back to verse 12, for by one man sin entered, so the offense was sin. So therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to the condemnation. Remember back it says in verse 23 of chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The sin was that judgment. Because that's what we were born into. So therefore, by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men for condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, judgment did not come, the free gift came. The free gift came. The free gift came. The free gift came. Okay? The free gift came. You know, really, I know these words are added by the writers, but they're so right. Because there are two things happening. You get freedom, and then you get the gift. Free gift. Freedom and gift. Because normally when you get a gift, it's free anyway, right? But you get a free gift. Freedom comes with this gift, ladies and gentlemen. Free from what? Judgment. Condemnation. Okay? Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Do you see that? So if the free gift gave us life, what did we have before receiving the free gift? Death. And when we had death, where were we living? Under the law. Do you see that? So there's no way the law can give you eternal life. I don't care how good you are in keeping it. Because, see, the law doesn't change who you are. But, see, the free gift changes who you are. Okay? Look at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus, shall many be made righteous. Isn't that neat? One more. Chapter 6, look at verse 22. But now, being made free from sin, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have been made free from sin. Because if we were not free from sin, kiss heaven goodbye. Bye-bye. Ain't happening. But we are free from sin. And become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. Praise God. For the wages of sin is death. Death, sin has a price tag. Sin has a price tag. The particular sin he's talking about here is the sin nature. Has a price tag, and it's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the price that Jesus paid for us. I say let's give him a hallelujah. 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 Now, for the rest of this message, it's not going to take long. We're going to look at four things that happened to us because of what Jesus did for us. What happened to us because of what Jesus did for us. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 12, 13, and 14. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Go back to verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. In other words, the Father made us qualified for heaven. Why? Because we said yes to Jesus. This is not hard stuff. It's not complicated. Yes to Jesus means eternal life. No to Jesus means eternal death. Not hard. Okay? He has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, this word partakers, it doesn't mean that we got about 15 people in the room. Okay? It does not mean that 15 people are going to divide up an inheritance. That's not what that means. That means that we share fully, all 15 of us, for the sake of this message, in the inheritance. We don't divide it up by 15, and LaFay gets 1/15, Stephen gets 1/15, Judy gets 1/15, okay? That's not how it works. We all share fully in the inheritance, okay? And it says, the inheritance of the saints, where? In light. Remember we talked about that this morning a little bit when Jesus said that you will stumble if you're in darkness, but he doesn't stumble because the light is in him. Remember? The light is in him. Here, the inheritance of the saints in light. In light, in the word in, I-N, it means a position, a place, a position. Okay? So what's the position that we have? Light. Hold your finger here and look at 1 John. Remember we talked about this morning, 1 John chapter 1. We talked about the reason that we read the word and we study the word and we confess the word because we have to, at some point, get this thing up here, this mind, to let the word get in and we believe it and we can see the word living in our lives. Okay? 1 John chapter 5. If we are share fully the inheritance of the saints who live in light, okay, look at 1 John chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And that word no means absolutely no darkness. You cannot find it in God. Cannot find it in God. So the next time someone tells you that God is taking me through this to teach me a lesson, it's not your Father. It's not your Father. Most of the time when we go through struggles, we go through struggle because of decisions we make. That hurts, but it's true. It's decisions we make. But God is a God of light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, what is that telling us, ladies and gentlemen? We don't have to walk in who we are. We can choose to walk opposite of who we are. That is so sad. But see, God is not a puppeteer. He doesn't have strings attached to us, and so Barry just does what God wants him to do. No, we have free will. We can choose not to live by who we are. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise God. Praise God. First fellowship is with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. That's the first fellowship. And then the next fellowship is with all of us. Okay? Why? Because we now live in the position of light. Okay? Go back to Colossians. Verse 13. There are two things that happen in verse 13 to us because of what Jesus did for us. Who has delivered us from the authority of darkness. That word power is authority. Okay? So delivered us from the power of darkness. When Jesus delivered us from the power of darkness, it's like he reached down. Come here, Stephen. I'm going to use Stephen as an example. When it says he delivered us from the power of darkness, okay, Stephen is walking away. Slow, okay, stop. Now see, Stephen now is part of Satan's kingdom. Okay? So what God has done, he has reached in, grabbed Stephen, and pulled Stephen to himself. So it's not only grabbing Stephen, but drawing Stephen to himself. That's what delivered means. I'm taking you out of this kingdom, thank you, son, and I'm bringing you to myself. That's how much I love you. I want you here with me. That's delivered. That's the image that it paints. Okay? So he delivered us, includes drawing him to us from the power, the right or ability, the dominion, the rule of darkness. That's what that word power means. It means right. Before we got born again, Satan had a right to us. We had a sin nature. He had a right to us. Okay? And he could push our buttons any way he liked. We were powerless against him because we had the same nature he has. We didn't have a choice. We did not have a choice. Okay? But we have been delivered from the power, from his authority, and we have been translated into Jesus' kingdom. Translated into Jesus' kingdom. And just like I was showing with Stephen, we have been taken from one place and put into another place spiritually. That's what happened to us. We've been taken from the power of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. I want you to understand what that means, ladies and gentlemen. What that means is when God took us from the power of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of his dear son, he took us out of Satan's reach. He took us out of Satan's reach. Spiritually, Satan cannot touch us ever again. Okay? Spiritually, he cannot touch us ever again. So you know how he gets to us? With our thoughts, with our flesh. That's how he gets to us. Because spiritually, he can't touch us anymore. He cannot influence us through the Spirit anymore. And oh my God, I wish the body of Christ could grasp that. Grasp that. Because, see, there are so many of us, we believe we're still sinners. We've just been saved by grace. But, see, if God has translated you from the power of darkness, picked you up, moved you into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, you cannot be a sinner. Sinners don't go to heaven. That's the way it works. Sinners don't go to heaven. So you cannot be a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner who has been saved by grace. Okay? One more. In verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. The price was paid in full for us. The price was paid in full for us. And you know, the worst thing that we can do to God is slap him in the face and go back to the life we used to live. When he's paid for us in full, we go back and spend time in that old life. And it reminds me, do you remember the story of Lot's wife? Lot's wife, the angels, they had delivered them. They were no longer in danger of Sodom and Gomorrah. But God specifically said, do not turn back and look. Because if you do, you're going to die. Lot's wife was delivered. She turned back and she looked. And she became the salt. Why did she turn back and look? She was looking back at a lifestyle that she had given up. She was looking back at the life she had given up. How many of us look back at our life that we have now been delivered from, and we go back and play with it for a little while? We go back and play with it because we enjoyed that life. It was a life of sin. It was lust of the flesh. We enjoyed that. And we can't do it anymore, supposedly. But we make a decision not to live in the light. We take a step into the darkness, and we wiggle our toes a little bit. Don't you think that Satan takes note of that? So we see here the first thing that happened when Jesus paid our debt was he delivered us from the authority that Satan had over us, and he placed us into a brand new kingdom. Amen. Let's look at the second thing. 1 John chapter 8. 1 John chapter 3. There are no 8 chapters in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 8. In verse 8, it says, jumping right in the middle of it, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Stop. This doesn't mean, that when you commit a sin, not on purpose, but you commit a sin, that's not what it's talking about. He that committeth sin is of the devil. He that has a lifestyle of sin is of the devil. That's what it's talking about. If you have a lifestyle of sin, you are of the devil. Of the devil, what does that mean? That means that your life is found in the devil. What does that mean? You are not born again. I was trying to, get this, help you see it in so many different ways. Okay? He that hath a lifestyle of sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. From what beginning? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. That's the beginning. Because, see, the Bible says in Ezekiel 28 that he was made thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the beginning. So when God made him, God made Lucifer perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in him. So iniquity happened after he was made. Okay? So he was not a sinner from the beginning, that when God created him, it was from our beginning here on earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Now, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil have been destroyed in our lives. The works of the devil have been destroyed in our lives. And that word destroy means we have been set free. It's the bands have been loosed. Okay? The bands have been loosed. He no longer has us under his control. Okay? Look in Galatians chapter 5. So, since Satan no longer has us under control, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For the sake of this message, be not again entangled in your old life. in the way you used to live. Don't go back. It's going to entangle you. It's going to snare you. It's going to sap all of the life that God has given you out of you when you go back to that old life. Okay? So how do we give access? How do we give the devil access to our life? Through our thoughts. Plain and simple. Because he's going to feed your thoughts. He's going to see which ones you're going to act on. And once you act, he knows what thoughts will affect you. Okay? So the second one then is that all the works of the devil have been destroyed in our lives. So we see in the first two things. Number one, that we have been delivered from darkness. We're now in the kingdom of the Son that God loves. And all the works that the devil had on us have now been destroyed. When you look at the body of Christ, is that true? What those three things are those ever, is that true? Yes, that's true. It's true because that's what happened. But the body of Christ is not living in that truth. The body of Christ is not living in that truth. I have said this before, and I'm going to say it one more time. The worst thing that someone can do is judge Christianity by most Christians. That's a mistake. You cannot judge Christianity by most Christians. I've gotten to the point in my life, this is my only judge right here. I love Doris, I love Stephen, I love Alice, I love Judy, but I'm not going to judge Christianity by what I see anymore. It only comes by what the Word says. By what the Word says. And that's no disrespect to Alice, to Judy, and Stephen. It's not. It's just a realization of I cannot judge Christ's life by looking at someone else. I have to look at Christ. I have to look at the one, the role model, the pattern. That's where I have to look. Okay? Number three. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 1. It's Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, that be us. We are the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So number three, we are blessed. Period. We are blessed. Now, being blessed, ladies and gentlemen, is not a feeling. It is not a feeling. Okay? So whether or not you feel blessed is immaterial. We are blessed. We are blessed. Okay? Being blessed is a knowing by faith. Being blessed is a knowing by faith. So, Barry, let me ask you a question. If being blessed is not a feeling, then how do you know you are blessed, Barry? Because the Bible tells me so.
Amen.
Really? The Bible tells me so. That's it. That's how I know I'm blessed. The Bible tells me so. That's all I need to know. Now, so then it becomes my responsibility to accept being blessed or not. Okay? Look in Numbers 23. So when we see here that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, what does that tell us? It tells us that, first of all, the blessings occur in the realm of the spirit before they show up in the natural. But that still means we are blessed. Even though they occur first in the spiritual, they show up in the natural. We are blessed. Okay? And so what does God's blessing include? Healing. All your needs being met. Okay. The ability to pray for someone else and get them healed. The ability to bring someone else into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Okay. I want to show you this verse because it really blessed me. We're going to look at Numbers 23:19, and this is Balaam. Okay? Now, Balak, the king, has asked Balaam to curse Israel. Okay? But God, the Lord, has blessed Israel. Now, look at verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall it not? He shall not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Remember, we looked at Isaiah chapter 55 this morning, verses 8 through 11. My word goeth forth, and it does not return void. Okay? The same thing here. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, verse 20, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has blessed, I cannot reverse it. Guess who else cannot reverse it? Satan cannot reverse it. So another thing about being blessed, Satan nor man can stop God from blessing you. Satan nor man can stop God from blessing you. Okay? Then, if I am not receiving the blessings, why not? Deuteronomy chapter 28. Bear, that's Old Testament. Yeah, but it's still God's word. It's still God's word. Look at chapter 28. And it's a chapter we love to read anyway. Because it talks about all the blessings, okay? We love to read it anyway, so we might as well read it and see something else here. Verse 1. So we're looking at then, why aren't we receiving God's blessings? And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee. And what are they going to do? They're going to overtake you. Can you imagine you're running and the blessing catches up and passes you? It overtakes you. Why? Because God is sending the blessing. But look at the caveat. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. He said that twice. If thou shalt hearken, verse 1, diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 2, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So if we're not hearkening to God, if we're not listening to God, if we're not believing what he says in this book, where are the blessings? Who stops the blessings? I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. For all those folks out there who believe that God is in control, that he's in charge of everything, that everything that happens is because of part of God's master plan, I'm going to tell you right now, you can take this to the bank, you can mark it down, and then you can check with God when you get to heaven. We stop God every day when we disobey. God is not going to override our freedom of will. If we don't hearken diligently to God, he's not going to make us. He's not going to run up and say, LaFay, didn't I tell you do this? Didn't I tell you do this? LaFay, do it. No. He's already told LaFay to do it. And if LaFay doesn't do it, My Tennessee is getting ready to come out. It won't get done. If LaFaye doesn't do it, it won't get done. See, we stop God all the time, ladies and gentlemen. And yet we want to say God is in control. God is only in control of the things we give him control over. So if he does not have control over your life, God is not in control of your life. You are. If you don't submit to him, there's no control. He's not going to make you. If anyone argues with you about that, tell them to go back to Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. If he was going to stop anyone from doing anything, would it not have been Adam? Yes. I mean, because if he had stopped Adam, we wouldn't be in this mess. Because there would be no sin in the world. There would be no death in the world. If he had stopped Adam. But he didn't. He didn't. But we think that somehow he's going to stop us. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. Let's look at the last one. 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 4. Once I get there. It says, ye are of God. Ye are of God, little children. What does that mean? Your life proceeds from God. That word of is the word ek, means flows out of. So you flow out of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's in us? Who's in us? You can say it. God. He's in us. We just read that. Ye are of God. And then it said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God is in us. God is in us. With all of our issues, God is in us. Yes, Stephen. Yeah, that's scary. With all of our issues, our Heavenly Father is in us. It's in us. Why? Because we said yes to Jesus. Okay? Look at verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God dwelleth in him. Herein, verse 17, is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. What does that mean? So many times we will take that verse and say, as he is, and we will go back and look at the life of Jesus. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. And then what we will do, if we would take that as he is and say, okay, just like Jesus was able to heal, that's what we can do. Just like Jesus was able to cause the blind to see, that's what we can do. As he is, so are we in this world. That's true. But that's not what it's talking about. Herein is our love made perfect. Herein is our love made perfect. That we may know, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, as his love is made perfect, so are we when our love is made perfect. He's not talking about the things that Jesus did. He's talking about who he was. who God is. And 1 John tells us God is love, verse 5, chapter 1, and in him is no darkness at all. So, the whole point of Scripture, ladies and gentlemen, is showing us how we really need to focus on our love walk. That's what we need to focus on. You know, if you are doing this because you want to do the things that Jesus did, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You're doing it for the wrong reason. God gave because he loved us. That's why he gave, because he loved us. And so our love is what will make us more like Jesus. I know we talk about faith, and that's a good thing. But, you know, like we talked about this morning, faith is energized, according to Galatians. Faith worketh by love. No love, no faith. But Brother Barry, doesn't it say faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God? Yes, it does. But no love, no faith. You can read the Bible all you want to. But if you don't have any love working in you, you don't have faith. You got a lot of Bible, but you don't have any faith. And that's what we need. That's what we need. As he is, as Jesus loves, as God loves, so are we. So God has given us the standard. He has given us the pattern. He has given us the model. What he is telling us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that I am telling you how to be more like me. Tap into my love. Then you will be more like me. The more you tap into my love, and where is the love? In us. In us. It's already there. It's in us. Because we're complete in him. It's in us. So we have to bring it out. Okay? So the last thing then is we have the capability of being just like Jesus. And loving just like Jesus. Being just like Jesus and loving just like Jesus. And I gave you several scriptures on love and compassion, because when you look in the Gospels, you see how Jesus was moved by compassion. That the love that was on the inside of him, when he saw someone hurting, it moved him. It moved him. And so when you see someone hurting or you see someone disadvantaged and there is not something in you that's moved, you got some more love that you need to build in. You got more love to work on. Okay? So what are we seeing tonight? When Jesus paid our debt, he took away the right and ability Satan had to rule our lives. When Jesus paid our debt, he took our spirits, which were dead and in bondage in Satan's kingdom, and gave them life and freedom in the kingdom of the Son God loves. When Jesus paid our debt, he loosened the grip the devil had in our lives, again setting us free. When Jesus paid our debt, God blessed us. God blessed us. And finally, when Jesus paid our debt, he made it possible for us to truly live and function like him. Amen? There's a lot more that we could have covered in terms of what Jesus did for us. But I thought it was interesting that these were the things that the Lord brought to mind. And it's sort of like a reminder of who you are. It's sort of like saying, Barry, no matter what you face during the day, remember, this is who you are. No matter what happens, this is who you are. No matter what attacks the enemy of the soul throws at you, this is who you are, Barry. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he opened up the doors of the kingdom of heaven to us. And all we had to do was just say yes and walk through the door. And so, now that you know that the door has been opened to you, and now that you have walked through that door, start to become more and more of who you are and what you've been given. Because the world needs it. The world needs it. Because if the world doesn't see us living the way Jesus lived, or see Jesus in us, and you know we hear that all the time, it almost gets so old that we hear it all the time, but it's so true. If the world doesn't see Jesus in us, then Jesus is not going to live in the world. He's not going to be available to people. It has to be seen in us. So let tonight put you on that trail to love. Put you on the trail to love more and more and more. Amen.